Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here. Amen. The Spirit of God wants to do something for us in this place tonight, I promise you. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen. He said, where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in the midst. The only two of us here tonight, He'd be here. Amen. He's looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24 said. Amen. But it's good to be here, Sister Meyer and all of you, and have Brother Ellery Campson with me, bringing me down tonight, being my chauffeur. Praise God. His brother chauffeured me two nights coming down. So, amen. I appreciate that so much. Sure do. And in Matthew 5, we want to begin reading tonight. Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, want to turn to that. Good to see Sister Vicki again. Amen. Hey, Lord, sister. Praise God to see all of you. And just great to be here. Amen. I feel the presence and the glory of the living God. Amen. He's here to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. Here to heal your body tonight. Amen. Whatever we need, we can have it. As I try to tell people all the time, you don't have to wait to the end of the service. You can have the Holy Ghost while the Word of God's going forth. That's how I received it. My son received it the same way. While the preacher was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on us right where we sat. Acts chapter 2, Bible said that the Holy Ghost fell on them right where they, in that house, where they what? Wasn't standing, kneeling. That's all right. Where they sat. Hallelujah. Amen. But they were in one mind and one accord. Praise God. So tonight, you can receive healing while the Word of God's going forth. Psalms 107 verse 20 said He sent His word and healed them, and He'll do it tonight, and deliver them from their destructions. I'm going to begin reading Matthew 5, 1 through 6, if you have your Bibles. I'm going to be turning to that and see what the Lord has in this service tonight. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying... Tell you what, folks, Jesus Christ was a great teacher. Amen. Most of His ministers was teaching, healing, delivering, casting out devils, seeing miracles happen. Hallelujah. And He's the same. Hebrews 13, verse 8, yesterday, past tense, today, present tense, and forever, future tense. Hallelujah. So He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. What does shall mean? Positively must be, has to be. For they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Notice the setting of the scripture here where He went up into a mountain. But Jesus knew when He began to teach this, it had been a while since they had eaten or drank anything. And He perceived they were hungry and thirsty in the natural. And I'm sure that He thought, if I could get them to understand, if they could have an appetite after the spiritual things like they do the natural things, they're going to be filled with great righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. If He could get them to realize that. And that's when He began to teach them, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When God created man, He created in him something that this world could not satisfy. Something that carnal things could not satisfy. You and I, some of us were in sin for years. And I'll tell you what I was searching for, I did not find it in a bottle of whiskey. I didn't find it in a glass of beer. I didn't find it in a case of wine. But I found it when I bowed my knee to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and God baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. That's when I found what I was looking for all those 31 years of my life. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. God's people should have greater appetites after the things of the Spirit. In the book of Psalms 107 verse 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Luke chapter 1, verse 53, he tells me that he's going to fill the hungry soul. Amen. But them that don't care, they don't realize what they need, he's going to send away empty. Amen. So I'm going to tell you what, we come here tonight, hopefully, with a spiritual appetite that God will do something for us. Amen. In this service tonight. Praise God. Luke 11 and 1. Here's a time when Jesus Christ was praying. Notice what happened. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. It was not after Jesus taught a message on prayer on a chart, wasn't even after he taught about it or preached about it, but when they come into the atmosphere where he was praying and felt the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, that's when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. When they come into his marvelous glory, something was happening when he was praying. Now I'll tell you one thing, it'll happen when you and I pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So they were spiritually hungry. They were spiritually thirsty. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Notice in 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Get what it said? Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He prayed in such agony until sweat fell from his face as great drops of blood upon the ground. And he said, Peter said, writing, we should follow his steps. Hallelujah. If he prayed, we better have a prayer life. If he fasted, we better be fasting. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing, folks. God will bless them that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not hungry and thirsting after more of this world or more of the things in the natural, carnal, and in this world, but hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. I can remember back, raised on a farm in South Central Indiana, and all the years of farming until I was about 18 years of age, graduated from high school, and went to work in a town. But raised on a farm, worked on a farm all those years. And about that time, of course, Dad retired. So it all worked out, you know, perfect timing. But I can remember the years of farming as just a young boy and growing up, even a teenager. And even in Indiana, sometimes it got hot in the summertime. We've seen it 100 degrees different times, amen, where I was raised, South Central Indiana. But I can remember as just a young lad hoeing down those long corn rows. Amen. And we would take to the field with us a glass jug, and it would be soaked with like we call a gunny sack, and we would soak that, wrap it around, or even newspaper, you could soak it, and set that water jug in the shade, and it would not be hot. Now, it wouldn't be ice cold, believe me, but it would be cool. And I can remember hoeing down those long rows. We got back to that water jug. Amen. We did, whoever's working with us, we didn't say, no, here, you go drink first. They say, no, no, you drink first. It was whoever got to that jug and began to guzzle that good, cool water. You know why? Because we was thirsty. Amen. You get thirsty after something, friend, and you're going to do something about it. Amen. You get thirsty about something in the natural, and you're going to find somehow, some way to quench that thirst. But Jesus is talking about, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I remember through the years after working on the farm, farming with horses, all that, began to work part-time, probably about 12, 13 years of age, for the couple of farmers around us that had tractors. And that was a new experience. And from putting up hay, you know, with a pitchfork, we went into where they were baling hay. And, of course, there would be a crew there working with the hay, baling the hay and putting up the hay on the wagons and putting it up in the barn loft and everything. And I can remember working as a young person and working with them. And some of those men, they chawed tobacco. And you only had one water jug. Sometimes when they take a drink out of that jug, there'd be some brown slimy stuff go back down in that water. And at first you'd say, no way, Jose. But wait till you got thirsty. Wait till you were so thirsty you couldn't even hardly swallow. You just shut your eyes and cut a hold of that jug and begin to drink some of that water. Why? Because you was thirsty. People will eat and drink things they would not ordinarily eat and drink if they're thirsty and hungry enough. You can mark that down. When you and I get hungry and thirsty after the Word of God, we're going to seek it. We're going to read it. Amen. We're going to listen to it. We're going to be at the house of God to hear it when the Word of God's going forth. Amen. And that begins to fulfill our spiritual appetite. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, if people had a spiritual appetite like they do the natural, you would never know there's any economic situation when you go to a restaurant in America. Most of them are always packed out. Especially weekend, you have to stand in line to eat. Praise God. I don't know how they're doing it. If somebody's out of jobs like they say, and I know they are, I guess they're maxing credit cards or whatever they're doing. I don't know. All I know is if they could have an appetite after God like they do the natural food, you talk about revival in America. Praise God. The devil couldn't even begin to put out that fire, that revival fire. Hallelujah. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Makes a difference when you're hungry. Makes a difference when you're thirsty. I remember when I started working for one of our farmers, driving a tractor and working in the fields. Took my first time there, took my lunchbox. We worked on the farm, you know, with Dad, whatever. We always come home to eat. And working for the farmer, he had some land way off, so I had a pack of lunch. And I remember my mother fixing that lunch on that black lunchbox. Cheese mayonnaise sandwiches, maybe, whatever. But I remember this one time had a big piece of her homemade chocolate cake. Now, boy, by the time 12 o'clock comes, you start about 8 in the morning, you are hungry farming. Believe me, they don't have to beg you to eat. Praise God. And you're not finicky. Anything you can get a hold of, Sister Vic, you nail it. So I hung that lunchbox on the fence so, you know, the big black ants wouldn't get in it. Well, somehow them devils smelled it. And by the time noon came, I guess they tight-walked that fence. Because when I sat down in the shade to eat, the sandwich wasn't bad. I'd never seen much. But when I unwrapped that chocolate cake, lo and behold, there they were, having them a picnic. I tell you what, I was hungry for that chocolate cake. And I flipped out what ants I could get out of there. What didn't make it? It was woe unto them ants. Because I inhaled that chocolate cake. Praise God. Goodbye to them ants. Whoa, I wouldn't do that. Someone said, get hungry enough, you will. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. I wouldn't walk this and that to church, get hungry enough, you will. Philippine Islands, they walk miles to church and are shouting and so happy and glad that they're able to attend. Hallelujah. And a lot of Americans couldn't drive two blocks with a Cadillac to come to church faithfully. Tell you one thing, I told the church brethren over there years ago when I was over the works in the Philippines, they didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, brother, it's going to be hard to stand on the day of judgment against y'all. They didn't know what I was talking about. Walking miles, sweating in that heat, eating dust. I was there when there was a great drought, and that's unusual for a tropical country like that. But they had a drought. Even now, the palm trees were dying. The coconut trees were starting to die. And you had to put, in order to even travel in those vehicles, you had to hold a handkerchief over your face or you'd suffocate, just dust everywhere. Amen. But it didn't bother them. I mean, they went right through everything and shouting and praising God like nothing ever even going on. Amen. In America, it's a little too cold. They're not faithful to church, a little too warm, not faithful to church or whatever. And they didn't know what I was talking about. But I said, it's going to be tough. Americans stand in judgment against y'all. Praise God. And that's the truth. That's not about right. That is right. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I remember Brother Rico in Old Mexico. We preached there different times through the years. And I remember him telling, giving a testimony of a sister, a young sister that was there in one of the churches. He was over a few churches, but one church in particular where she attended. And she had to walk a ways to get there. But here's the thing. Her husband was meaner than the devil himself. And he would beat her to keep her from coming to church. And Brother Rico was telling me about it. And he said, when he was telling me, he was weeping, you know, crying some. And he said, Brother Lance, I told her, you know, I had a little meeting with her. And I said, look, sister, I know we preach being faithful to church. But she'd come to church with both eyes blacked, her face bruised, whatever. And he said, look, sister, if you know, there's times he's not so violent. But the other times, it's the devil that he is. And he said, when you know he's that violent, whatever, just go ahead and stay home with him. And I said, I know we preach faithless at church, but I'm telling you. And he said, you know what, Brother Lance? She wouldn't stay home. She come to church with eyes black, whatever, walked a few miles to church to even get there. And I thought, oh, man, that is something. You know why? She had an appetite after the things of God. She had an appetite. Brother Kilgore, years ago, pastoring in Houston, Texas. Same thing with a sister in his church. Her husband was mean. He was brutal. And every time she'd get ready to go to church, he'd give her a fit, so to speak, and cause her all kinds of problems. And this one evening, she's dressed and going to church, walking down the hall, the house, hallway of the house. He steps out of a side room with a loaded revolver, puts it to her temple. He said, if you think you're going to church tonight, I'll blow your brains out. Have the hammer back. She said, well, hon, I'll tell you what. If you pull that trigger, I'm going to heaven. But if you don't, I'm going to church. Needless to say, he didn't pull the trigger. How could someone be like that? They had an appetite after God. They wasn't looking for excuses to stay out of church. They were looking for every excuse to be in church. Faithful to the house of God. Why? They were hungry. They had a spiritual appetite that most Americans don't have. And God help us all. I'm preaching to all of us tonight, or God is. Amen. One thing about the anointing of God, when it comes on you, it preaches all the way around. It shows no favors. As he always said, when that preacher's got one finger pointing to you, there's three pointing back to him. Bible said, thou that teachest another, teach thou not also thyself. Romans chapter 2, 20, 21 down through there. Thou that teachest, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? Well, you go a long way on that. Thou that teachest, thou shall pay tithe. Do you pay tithe? Teach you give offerings. Do you give up? Teach you pray. Do you pray? Well, you can go on and on with that, couldn't you? Amen. But 2 Timothy 2, 6 said, let the husband that labeth be first partaker of the fruits. If I never gave anything in the kingdom of God, how could I preach anyone else to? If I never bowed my knees, Brother Elbert, to pray, how could I preach for anyone else to pray? That's what he's saying. But if we have an appetite, we won't have to be beat over the head for these things. It will draw us closer to God. That spiritual appetite that we need. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they what? Shall be filled. In Job chapter 8, let me hurry through this and go through the heart of the message tonight. Job 8, 5 through 8. Very powerful scriptures. If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty. I didn't know what the word betimes meant. The King James was retranslated in the late 1800s from the old 1611 version. We, most of us know that. And if you ever seen a 1611 version with the old English, if I didn't know what the scripture said already, when you read it, you wouldn't understand what it's saying. Because all those words, almost all of them, were spelt different than what they're spelt today. But even the retranslation, the late 1800s, the old King James 11 was retranslated into what I call our more modern English. Even at that, there were still words of the old King James brought into our version of the King James version of the Bible. And some of these words, I got to go to dictionary to show it to me, because we don't use them in this hour. And I didn't know what betimes meant. So I went and got the definition from the Webster's. And the old Webster's dictionaries, like in the 50s, 40s on back, were full of Bible words. Now, I don't know about the new ones, you know, I imagine they don't. They've taken Jesus Christ and the Word and everything else out of everything else, so they may have taken it out of that. But the old Webster's dictionary, and I'm talking about years ago, and I've got a couple of them. I found them used years ago. And any Bible word just about you want to look up, it's in there. By morning, you can say for all the rest of them, isn't it? Amen. So betimes means proper time or early. Proper time. I've had those through the years that said the preachers, you know, that said, well, if you don't get up 5 o'clock in the morning, pray an hour, you're going to hell. Well, now, I don't think God is that concerned about the time we pray as the fact that we do pray. I mean, he wouldn't care, folks, if we got up at 6 and prayed or prayed at noon. Praise God. And it's all right. I'm not saying that to get up early in the morning and pray. Sure. But the thing of it is, we can't make certain hours to say someone's going to be lost because they don't do what we're saying they're going to, how we're saying they should do it and all of that. You understand what I'm saying? As long as we have that appetite, we're going to pray. Nobody's going to have to put a gun to our head and make us pray. If we got that appetite, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to pray, I promise you. It's all a part of our walk with God. Listen to what he went on to say. If thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee. No wonder he's dead to most people, is it? They're so deep in sin, perversion, ungodliness. No wonder they say God's dead. But he said this, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. You know, just reading that verse 7, the devil, Satan, and Jesus Christ, their kingdoms are in contrast one to the other. Totally in contrast. Because the devil gives you that which is better first and saves the worst to the last. Jesus always gives that which is lesser first and saves the best to the last. Fact is, the Bible called our baptism of the Holy Ghost the earnest down payment of our inheritance. Hallelujah. And that the best we could feel here and set in heavenly places in Jesus Christ here, as Ephesians said, the best that we could feel here, that's only the down payment of what's to come. Hallelujah. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now notice what he's saying here. If thou wert pure and upright, he would awake for us. That's what he said, wasn't it? Praise God. In other words, what's supplication? Verse 5, I read the word supplication. I never said anything about it. Supplication means to seek. Of course, the Bible's full of scriptures with seeking him, different ones. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Psalms 34:10, the young lions do see, they do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want. The word want there means lack. The word want and lack are almost synonymous. Because if you lack, you're going to want. But if you don't want, then that means you're not lacking. Because if you're lacking, you'd want, right? So we can interchange those words. And the Bible said those young lions, they do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. Praise God. So it's our duty according to God's word. And that's one scripture I have used in all of my years of living for God. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. What other things? Your necessities, your food, your raiment, and your dwelling place, your house to live in, or whatever. All these natural things will be added unto you. So always figure this. I've never had to pray, thank God. I brought some things before him about it. Sure have. And established a financial covenant when I paid tithe and give offering about a certain thing. And that's the word. But the thing of it is, I have never, never that I remember have to get down and beg God for days for some money. It just was always there. I might mention it, God, I need so and so and this and that. But I'm talking about not having to fast and pray for a week to get God to move financially for me. It's just always been there. Because I took him at his word. He said, seek ye first, number one, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. So it's our obligation by the word of God, our duty really, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then by his own word, he's obligated to do what he said. And he will. We do our part, I promise you, he'll do his part. Though thy beginning, verse 7, let me give you that again, thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. You know, I mentioned before and testified, I never went to any kind of a church for 31 years till I got the Holy Ghost. Never, and I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I slept in on Sunday morning instead of going to some of these dead, dry, denominational churches. Because when God saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, he didn't have to undo anything because I didn't have anything in there to undo. He didn't have to deprogram me from false doctrine because I had no fault. I didn't know anything. Nothing. I didn't know Genesis, and one guy said revolution. Praise God. But I'll tell you one thing. It gave me a hunger for the Word of God when I got the Holy Ghost. I know that. Amen. It reminds me going to work part-time years ago at a filling station in Indianapolis, Indiana. I worked 3 jobs for a good while and worked 2 jobs for years. Till in the federal meat inspection, I got promoted high enough to where I could make it on one income. And that's just the necessities of living. That wouldn't be living high on the hog, you know what I mean. But I remember I went to work, go to work for that filling station. Someone said he needed someone to work there. So I went and talked to the man that owned it. First thing he asked me if he ever worked in a filling station before. I said, well, in high school, I pumped gas at Perrigan, Indiana, where I graduated from high school. At a little old station. He said, how many of you worked inside washing cars, dealing with this, dealing with that, changing oil, whatever? And I said, no, sir. He said, you're hired. You're the one I want. I get these men that worked in filling stations, and before long, they're telling me what to do. They're thinking the more than I do. You're hired. Well, God don't get any glory out of all of our false doctrine. Thank God people come out of false doctrine. But, he, you know, sometimes they get in a place, they try to tell the truth that it's not true and try to spread a lie more than they would the truth. Trying to spread everything else, trying to tell God what to do. Hallelujah. So when I got the Holy Ghost, he didn't have to deprogram me. I had nothing in me as far as religion, period. And I thank God for that, I really do. And I thank God for those that come through the ranks of false doctrine or false religion. I'm not saying that, okay? But I'll tell you, the reason they come through is because they're hungry. If they don't have an appetite, or we don't have an appetite after God, we'll stay in false doctrine. We'll stay with a bunch of junk and be satisfied, not if you're hungry. If you've got an appetite, I promise you, God's fixing to move. J.H. Osteen, the father of the Osteen that writes the books now and all that, I'm going back in the 60s. His father was a Baptist pastor in the state of Texas. But he got hungry for God. He was not just satisfied with the denomination. He got hungry for more of God. And in his hunger, God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and fire, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Well, his ministry changed. I promise you that much. And you know what? He had a large congregation of 1,200, I don't remember, like that, something long, a lot of people. And of course, he began to preach the Holy Ghost after he received it. And he didn't know what had happened. He figured most of them would leave. But you know what? Most of that congregation, I'm sure there were some left, but most of that congregation received the Holy Ghost through the weeks and months that followed, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. You know why? He was hungry. Why did he get the Holy Ghost? Because he was hungry. And you get hungry after God. You get an appetite that's like that need the Holy Ghost. You need to seek, you need to desire that more than anything there is till you receive it. I mean, that should be your number one priority above everything. God, I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to have the Holy Ghost. With an appetite like that, you'll receive the Holy Ghost, I promise you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalms 2:8 said, ask of me, God said, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Wow. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I remember a young brother back in 1971, pastoring in French Lick, Indiana. Never forget his testimony. He said, we pastored there, and the former pastor had pastored there for years, which might have been his father, I don't remember now. But the younger brother had just taken over that church recently at that time. And he said, I remember years back to my father, we ran in that church 25 people for years. I don't know how long, but it's a while. And the pastor there got fired up. And he got up and he said, church, we're going to start praying like we've never prayed for lost souls and salvation of these sinners. Now, I'm not talking about now lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about praying. We're going to end up praying hours a day if we have to. And we're going to fast. I'm not talking about fasting from noon to noon or fasting at one meal. I'm talking about 3 days, 6 days, 7 days, 10 days. We're going to fast and we're going to believe God for a revival. And they started. It didn't happen overnight. But I'm going to tell you what, they never gave up. And once it broke, people driving on Sunday morning, once it broke, the spirit of revival. They were driving by that little church on the way to another denominational church, and the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. They was going on. They'd make a U-turn and come into that church. Praise God. Many of them received the Holy Ghost. And at that time, they had over 100 when he was talking. Amen. What happened? Somebody got hungry and somebody got thirsty. And when you get hungry and thirsty, God's going to move because he promised it. You shall be filled. We get hungry and thirsty after righteousness. God's got to move. By his own word, he has to move. And believe me, he will. I remember Brother Eddie Ray, the one I received the Holy Ghost under, in his ministries, evangelizing at that time. Pastored for years in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and evangelized for a good while. And I received the Holy Ghost, of course, and he was preaching in a revival. Like I told you, the Holy Ghost fell on me right where I sat while he was preaching. And I remember him giving a testimony one time. He's talking about you hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And he said a pastor that he preached for had a fairly large congregation. And he said, I commended him. And I said, Pastor, I commend your connection with God. I commend your seeking after God. I commend your working and giving God the best, the congregation, the size of this congregation. And he said, Brother Ray, I don't take dishonor. I don't take the credit. If you'll come tomorrow, I'll show you why, mainly why. Not that the others didn't pray, but mainly why this congregation has grown like it's growing. He said the next day he took me out in his car. We went off of a main street to a part of that city, part of that city that I was in, preaching in. And said we went off the main roads into a little alley finally and pulled up into a little house, front of a little house. Said we walked in that house. He said, Brother Ray said, when I opened the door, she let us in because knocked on the door. The sister said, come in. But he said, I noticed one thing this years ago. He said, when I walked in, there was a telephone sitting on a stand. And the numbers and letters were entirely worn off of that phone. I thought, that's strange. And we went in there. She was kneeling by the bed, seeking God for lost souls. Had a telephone book open, the large yellow pages and the white page both. And she would open it up and she would pray and seek God. And when God inspired her to call this certain number, she would call it. And this went on day and night only when she was sleeping. And he said, there's the reason why this church is filled to capacity. One soul that was hungry and thirsting after righteousness. One soul that wouldn't let a day go by that she had not called and dialed that phone and called those inspired that God inspired her and invited them to the house of God. I'm telling you what, folks, we get hungry after God, things are going to happen. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 8, for I inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. When I read this years ago, I thought, okay, now what are we talking about? We can go back to the book of Acts. They had a 3-hour prayer time a day, understanding the scripture. And let's just go back a little lesser in time than that, of what they called the Reformation. When men that didn't even have the truth, they were coming into more of it, but didn't even have it all at that time. Men like John Wesley, praying John Hyde. You've read some of the biographies. George Mueller. These were men that had prayer lives. And I went back and I began to find some history and inquire history. Because God said, inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. And prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. And I said, wow. So I went back and began to try to find books, libraries, or order them, or wherever I could find them at. Used bookstores, whatever. I wanted to know what happened, why there was such a blazing fire, amen, that burned across America from some of these men that didn't even have the truth we have. You know, under the preaching of D.L. Moody, who was a holiness man, a separated man, but he didn't have all the truth. But under his ministry, people fell out in trances and talked in tongues. They didn't know what they was doing. Isn't that amazing? God was trying to reach through all those. You read about the history of that time, and I'm going to tell you what, it'll stir you up. When you see how God moved in those revivals, those brush arbors a lot of them had, because they were hungry and they were thirsty. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall. So I began to inquire of the former age. I wanted to see why and what was going on. Now I began to realize something when I read about those men. Even some of them I didn't even really know. William Bramwell. He prayed with such fervency on a hardwood floor that he literally wore grooves in the hardwood from his praying. John Wesley said, if I hadn't prayed 3 hours before I went out of a day to do my day, perform my daily duty in God, I felt like I was backslid. Whoa. I began to read that. I said, wow, wee, whoa. They had a hunger and they had a thirst after the things of Almighty God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The writer said in Psalm 63, 1 and 2, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek, there's that word again, seek thee. Remember what Hebrews 11, 6 said? He's a rewarder to what? Who? Them that diligently seek him. A rewarder to them that diligently. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Now here's a writer that's hungry after God. Listen to what he says. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You reckon that dude that's lost on the desert, going around in circles, is thirsty? You know, there's one thing. Maybe it's the rotation of the earth. But when you get lost, it's human nature to go around in a circle. You ever been lost in the woods or on a desert anywhere? I've been lost in the woods one time. Big woods. But not on a desert, thank God. That's right. If they're crawling on a desert and you cannot see land, whatever, it's a desert. All they do is crawl around in a circle. They think they're going straight. But they're not. That's the way with false religion, false church, false doctrine. They think they're going straight. All they're doing is going around circles. They're making headway in nothing without the Holy Ghost, power of God, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, really being born again. Amen. As Brother Charlie Wickler, he said, they're just fooling themselves. Hallelujah. But it's just the way it is. Can you imagine that man lost on a desert? And he's already so thirsty, he can't hardly swallow. And he thinks, boy, keeps crawling, crawling. Wow, before long, I'm going to reach land. I'm going to reach oasis. I'm going to reach something. But then he sees some footprints, some drag marks from the knees or whatever. And he, wow, someone else is out here. Then all at once, the sickening reality hits him. Those are mine. This is where I was yesterday. I have just went around in a big circle. Wow, what hope would you think he had then? And the writer said, I will seek you early. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What he's saying, Lord, spiritually, I am so hungry and thirsty as that man dying in the desert. If I can't have more of you every day, if I cannot have more of your power every day, I don't think I can stand it. I just can't take it. God, I got to have more and more and more every day that goes by. What did he say in verse 2? Why did he say, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee? He said this in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We ought to hunger and thirst after God to see miracles out there, not just in here. Sure, we need them in here. Amen. I tell you one thing. I'm so caught up about Jesus Christ, the healing power and deliverance. I'll pray for anybody anywhere. I don't care what they look like or who they think they are, if they let me. I'm serious. I don't like to see anybody in trouble or anybody hurt or whatever. Amen. If they're allowed, I'll pray for them. Praise God. I just believe God just works miracles. Just believe he's my healer and the healer of those that believe him. Praise God. So, in order to keep that stance and that walk with God, you and I are going to have to keep a spiritual appetite. If we don't, we'll never see what God wants us to have. I can tell you that right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. They said they might. They said, well, it's possible. He said they shall. Positively must be, has to be filled. Hallelujah. Brother Dick Ellis, friend of mine in Louisiana, years ago was a Baptist preacher. young preacher. He didn't pastor anything at that time. But he got hungry for God. That makes the difference. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Brother Ellis began to seek God like he'd never sought God as a Baptist. And in the process of seeking him, God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and fire, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Well, the first thing, boy, his life changed, you know that. And the first thing that he began to read was the book of Acts. And the first thing he seen, hey, I got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He never even found a minister around there anywhere to baptize him at first. So he kept looking. And he found a UPC pastor somewhere, not around where he lived, but somewhere off somewhere that baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, his wife bowed up like a wounded black widow spider. She wanted nothing to do with it. So he didn't get on her, you know, cause her any fits. He just kept a hold of God. And one night, she broke down and came to church. And when she did, conviction ate her alive. And she hit that altar. And God baptized her because she fully repented. If she hadn't, he wouldn't have filled her with the Holy Ghost. But God baptized her with the Holy Ghost and fire. She couldn't speak in English. Brother Ellis, about midnight, just put her over his shoulder and packed her home. Later on the front room couch, and she's out talking in tongues. Now he's got to get up early the next morning, go to work, so he just leaves her in there. Tries to go to bed. And that morning before he got away from to go to work, the man that owned that apartment was a Jew. I'm talking about a literal Jew. And the apartment was a furnished apartment. That means everything, bedrooms, kitchens, everything, refrigerators, stoves, furnished apartment, right? Well, there's a problem right here before all this. They had a refrigerator, of course, it was owned by the Jew that owned the apartment, but it'd run when it wanted to, and if it didn't want to, it just didn't. It's a problem. And they'd confronted him, and he just at that time had not yet got one. So anyway, before Brother Ellison got out of the house that morning, goes to the door and it's a Jew that owns the apartment. Well, she's still in there on the couch in the front room talking in tongues. And he begins talking to him and the Jew backs up a couple of steps and Brother Ellis sees kind of the blood draining from his countenance, face, you know, like we say. He said, what's the matter? The Jew said, where did your wife learn our language? He said, my wife don't know your language. He said, I guess she does. She's laying there speaking in it. Hebrew tongue. And Brother Ellis said, well, if she's speaking your language, what's she saying? He said, well, she's in there magnifying, glorifying God. And all the time, he's stepping back. He said, he's getting out of there, scared him after death. He said, you want that new fridge? I'll get you a new fridge. Be here by 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm out of here. Goodbye. She scared him to death. Laying in there speaking his language, she didn't even know. Hallelujah. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Not some language that we know. If it's that heavenly language, it's a language we don't know. Praise God. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm going to read here just a few moments some more scriptures. Let me say something first. There was a Presbyterian pastor back a few years ago that received the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. Well, like the others, his life changed. His ministry changed. He come alive. Praise God. Jesus Christ is life, not death. We don't go to a morgue to worship him. We come where the fires of revival and the Holy Ghost fire is burning. Praise God. Amen. And this Presbyterian pastor received the Holy Ghost. Now, he knew one thing. He knew, of course, him being Presbyterian pastor all them years, he knew what the doctrine was. And he knew, you know, what had happened if he exposed that he had the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, which they were against. So he kind of kept it quiet for a little while. But how are you going to keep the Holy Ghost quiet if you really got it? you tried to snuff it out or keep quiet, you'd explode. And one Sunday morning, there's an elderly man and his wife about halfway back in that congregation. And this man fell out with a heart attack in the aisle, dead. Well, but now this Presbyterian pastor's all fired up anyway with the Holy Ghost. And he knows now that God's a healer and miracle worker. So he just jumps the platform without thinking. and runs down there and kneels and prays for him. He rebukes death, commands healing into that body in the name of Jesus Christ. And the fellow blinked his eyes, sat up, got back up on the pew. Well, they called him before the board. And here's what they told him. Of course, they excommunicated him from the Presbyterian ranks because he spoke in tongues. And here's what that head dude said. He said, "How dare you to raise the dead in one of our churches when you know we don't believe in it?" Sister Meyer, I can't fathom, but it's true. I can't fathom people being that way. Look like they ought to at least be hungry for more of God. That's just playing a game, I guess. Hallelujah. Man, there's Roman Catholics that got hungry. God filled them with the Holy Ghost and brought them into the truth. You know what I've seen overall? This is not calling anybody, leave anybody out. But you know that those faithful saints and some of the best saints I've ever seen were ex-Catholic. Isn't that something? I was preaching in Cajun country down South Louisiana years ago, back in the 70s. And probably the only time, maybe I taught it once since then, it's been years. And I taught on the Roman Catholic Church and Bible prophecy. And I had some tracts with me written by ex-Catholic priests. And they told them tracts how they, by the law, still have authority. I'm talking about their law, the Catholic law, to kill Protestants, torture them, whatever. Now, the laws of the land won't allow that here in America so far. But, and I was bringing out, so I was reading from the Catholic priests. And what I didn't know, there was a young man in that congregation studying to be a Catholic priest. And he got mad. I didn't know this. I'm glad I didn't know it. I probably wouldn't have taught on it with him being going to be a priest sitting there. But he got so mad that he repented of his sins, got baptized in the great name of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he's an apostolic preacher. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, I'm thankful for those that get hungry and those that are thirsty, because God said they shall be filled. He didn't say they might be. He said they shall be. All right, let me wind it down here very quickly. The book of Psalms 42, 1 and 2. Very powerful scriptures. Here was the writer as he began to pen the writing here. And this man was hungry after God. I mean, he was thirsting after the things of God. And David's trying to tell God just to, and what's amazing in David's writings a lot, He used the natural thing. Say, "God, look over here. Now, that's the way I am towards you." And he said, "As a hart panteth after the water brook." Of course, a hart was a deer that had to have a lot of water to survive. Okay? Couldn't go along without water. And I can see David, can't you, sitting on the top side of a mountain, and there's that mountain brook, that stream of clear, cool water flowing down. All at once, out of the woods comes this deer, this hart. Sticks its nose into that cool water and begins to drink and drink and drink until its sides begin to swell out. And David said, "God, take a look. As that hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." You see how thirsty? That's how I'm thirsting after you, Lord. How could God not bless someone like that? He had to. That's why he called David a man after God's own heart. He said, and he went on to say, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, history, if you read it, James the apostle, it called him, in some of the history, read camel, they called him camel knees, some of them back then. Because of the hard wood or the hard dirt or wherever he prayed, rocks sometimes in those days. He had prayed so much on his knees that his knees looked like a camel. You've seen camel's knees or pictures of them. You know why? Because he had an appetite after more of God. Some of you have read probably the books of Elder G.T. Haywood, the black pastor in Indianapolis, Indiana years ago. Height of his ministry back in the 30s, 40s. Elder G.T. Haywood would go into his room different times, tell his wife, "I do not want anybody bothering me unless it's an extreme emergency." In that room, he would stay praying and seeking God 3 days and nights, fasting and seeking the Lord. It was after he come out of that series of fasting and praying like that, that the great things happened. They had a tent revival going on in his church, one of the ministers carrying it on. And one of those series, 3 days and nights, and they're fasting just alone with God and praying. And said he went into that pulpit that night in that large tent and said when Elder G.T. Hill would step to that pulpit, because the tent was packed, and said there was a ball of fire come down from up at the top of that tent, and said it come down, hovered over him a minute, shoo, and shot out through that tent. He said people piggybacked each other to those altars like they scared them to death. I said, I imagine it did. Praise God. But it was there in that series of fasting and praying. And you know why? Because he was hungry and thirsty. It was there that he penned. God gave him the words and the tune to a song that many one God apostolic people have sung through the years. I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. Hallelujah. What's happened to our appetite, folks? What's happened to the appetite of this end time church? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me give you just a few scriptures and winding it down. Psalm 6:6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. I'm reading of those that have an appetite, that are hungering and thirsting after more of God every day they live. Psalms 84:2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. It's this kind of an appetite, folks, that will get God's attention. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27:7, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry soul. Psalms 143 verse 6, the writer said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You'll do things when you're hungry and thirsty that you would not ordinarily do if you was not hungry and thirsty. That's the reason why a lot of people in this world have used natural carnal things to whet their spiritual appetite. That will not appease your spiritual appetite. Might cause that appetite to leave eventually, and it will if you don't keep it. But the thing of it is, God's looking for those that will still have an appetite after him. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Elder Robert Cavanaugh, of course, been passed away for years. He was more or less my mentor when I got the Holy Ghost. He was not my pastor. He lived a long way from where I got the church, Shelbyville, Indiana. But my relatives, and some still live there, my nephew pastors the church yet in Martinsville, Indiana, 28 miles from Indianapolis, and through that era. And he received the Holy Ghost in a church in northeast Indianapolis. Elder Jordan, the elder, another three generations of Jordans, a grandchild, the grandson of the Jordans, is pastoring that church off of 425 East around Indianapolis right now. But this is the elder, Brother Paul Jordan, years ago. You know where the Holy Ghost found him and why it found him? You know where it found him? On Skid Row. He was a wino, Brother Paul Jordan. And Brother Cavanaugh told me, five or six men, however many he said, it was a number of men, had tried to start a church in that part of Indianapolis. And all of them failed. But said old Sister Spellman went in there. And she went in there praying and fasting. And said, Brother Lance, if I wanted to find her on Sunday afternoon, there'd be two places. Either under the pews, travailing before God, or at home under her bed, seeking and travailing the living God. And that's why that church grew to capacity. Calling a man off a skid row, drawing him into that church, filling him with the Holy Ghost, who later pastored that church of over 400 people. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Did that make her any better than men? No. Only difference was she was hungry and she was thirsty for lost souls in that part of Indianapolis. Evidently, the men didn't much care. Or they'd have had the same result she had. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I kept this in winding it down for a reason years ago. And I would not have remembered this, but I wrote on here this one side. Laminated them years ago to protect them. Old newspaper pictures. And this is a result of an earthquake. Devastating. Many died. Destroyed much property. And God spoke, I wrote it down, in prophecy. He was in a revival. And God spoke a prophecy. November 1972, I was preaching there in Bradford, Tennessee, when the prophecy came forth. It was less than a month later this earthquake took place that God prophesied in that service. But that's not the main reason I brought this. The main reason is this side of it. Here are some grim-looking men. The story, the happening, the Andes Mountains, South America. The Andes Mountains. And some of y'all probably read or remember the story that happened. Here was a plane packed with these men. I don't remember where they were going, what they were doing right now, but I have the article somewhere. And that plane crashed up in the top of those mountains. I mean, snowed in. It crashed. Killed a lot of the people. But these men, it did not kill, of course. Now, they're up in the middle of nowhere. Snow everywhere. And for them to stay alive, they had very little food. What little food was on that plane, what was left of it, it broke it open, busted the plane open. I've got pictures of it, all that. But these men were saved alive so far. But you had a problem. Up there, there was no water, and there certainly wasn't no food. So they took like aluminum or aluminum foil. And when the sun would shine up on top of that mountain, they would take snow and let it, that sun, what little bit of sun they'd get, melt that snow, and they'd drink it for their water. But they stayed alive by digging up the corpse, which is well frozen and preserved, of those dead people, slicing off the meat like you would slice it off a hog or a cow. And they had a way, again, through the instrument, through the sun, that it would not literally cook that meat, but it would dry it, half-cooked, whatever. And that's how they stayed alive. It was past 30, 40, I don't remember the days. Probably tells on here. I'm going to read it tonight. But they didn't find them until a time that everybody would have been dead without food. Okay? But they were alive. Grim-looking, but they were alive. If you would have told any of them, one of them, any one of them, 5 minutes before the plane crashed, before this is over, you'll be turning to cannibalism. They would have said, you're crazy. You are nuts. I'd never do that. You know how they did it? They were starving to death. And when you're starving to death, you'll do things and eat and drink things you would not ordinarily eat and drink. If there could be anybody left in America, because I know most everybody's on, they're on, either on drugs or they're doctrine mind controlled, and everybody claims to be saved, whether they're a drunkard or whatever they are, and all of that, and it's tough. That's not a reason to just quit, but it's tough in America. It's not like foreign countries. I know foreign countries, they're lesser than what they used to be as far as winning souls. I know that, even the Philippines. Because they're getting more modern, getting more whatever. And it's harder to reach them in this hour than it was. We started the work, so we first preacher in 1978. And believe me, it's a lot different now than it was then. But America's worse. America's worse. Through prosperity, through whatever, the American people, they just don't have time for God or don't want Him, whatever the situation is. The attitude is with America overall, well, I got good cars to drive and I have a good house to live in. I have good food to eat, got decent clothes to wear. So what should I pray? Well, Jesus said, if you're praying after the natural things, that's what the Gentiles seek after. But seek ye first, remember, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So what He's saying is, get an appetite after the spiritual things. Get an appetite after My righteousness, God is saying. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. You let anybody, if there could be anybody left in America, that could be that starved for God, God would see to it that they found the truth. Titus 2:11 means what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto how many? All men. One way or another, it's appeared to all men. That's the book. The book's right. There's a precious lady in the state of Arkansas a few years back. No, she didn't know what truth was, but she got hungry after God. She began to seek Him. God, show me the truth. Please, somehow get me in contact to the truth. I don't know what truth is. I know one thing. I'm going to live for you, but you got hundreds of different churches saying hundreds of different things. Lord, I'm telling you, God will never fail on that. He can't. So she's seeking Him. God, show me the truth. She didn't know how God's going to do it, no more than you and I would. One day, there's a knock on the door. She goes to the door. There stands five men, white shirts, dark suits, and ties.
Praise the Lord.
They said, ma'am, we're lost. We're going to an apostolic convention. We got on the wrong road. We got off the main tour. We are lost. They wasn't. They was in God's direct, perfect will. Amen. And needless to say, she found her way to an apostolic church. Repented of her sins, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, that's not by chance. They never got lost by chance. God's perfect dealing, leading, directing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's all stand. I got to close. Tonight's your night to receive the Holy Ghost. Tonight's your night to receive a deeper walk with God. I don't know about y'all, but I am not satisfied. Thankful, yes, yes, yes. But I'm not satisfied. I can't be satisfied. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. I thank God for every miracle, for every healing, for everything, financial miracles, everything He's done, not only for myself, but those around me and people I know. I thank God. But there's got to be more. Remember Hosea chapter 6 verse 3? Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Who's going forth is prepared as the morning. The morning is crisp, clear, beautiful. That's the way our day will be every day if we're following on to know Him. If we're seeking Him, if we're hungering and thirsting after His righteousness. Hallelujah. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Of the scriptures we read, quoted tonight, I mean are awesome, like Psalm 63, Psalm 42. Lord, look at that thirsting deer. Cannot even hardly live very long without that water. As that deer is seeking more water, as that deer is thirsting, that's how, Lord, I'm thirsting after You. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ebaha rishadabaka shatama. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God's moving in this place, folks. He will confirm His word with signs, wonders, and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Let God do something for you in this service. Pray, oh God, that we would get an appetite like never before after righteousness. Lord God, that we would hunger and thirst as never before after Your righteousness. Hallelujah. After the deep things of God. Yea, Lord, we praise You. We thank You. We desire You more than ever before. Hallelujah. The Bible said the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We get stirred up in the Holy Ghost, and our appetite begins to be whetted toward the things of God, begins to reach out for more of His righteousness, more of His glory, more of His power. Yea, that God would grant us our petitions, that He would grant us our requests. Blessed are they. If you're hungering and thirsting after the Holy Ghost tonight, you shall be filled. If you're hungering and thirsting after more of God tonight, you shall be filled. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. God pronounce a blessing on us if we hunger and thirst after Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's all find a place to pray. Sister Mara, you want to come back and to the platform here if you want, hon. Let's let God move for us tonight, folks. Amen. He's here. God wants to confirm His word right here tonight. Amen. In our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Father, for your mighty power. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.